The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Ireland's banking world has been shaken up with the announcement that KBC Bank Ireland is looking at the possible sale of its performing loan assets and liabilities to Bank of Ireland. The Belgian bank's exit strategy from the country comes hot on the heels of Ulster Bank's withdrawal. So where does this leave customer choice, banking costs and competition? We're joined by Brian Hayes, Chief Executive of the Banking and Payments Federation Ireland, and Charlie Weston, Personal Finance Editor of the Irish Independent. You're both very welcome. Brian Hayes, first to you. I suppose when you put the two together, KBC on the back of Ulster Bank. Why is this happening?
Well, I think that's the fundamental question, Richard. I mean, international banks here who have a retail presence here, some of them for, well, in KBC's case, 40-odd years, Ulster Bank's case, over 100 years, are voting with their feet and they're leaving the country. And I think some of it is around the very challenging environment it is to run a bank in this country. Some of it is around the European agenda. I think the reality is that the EU consolidation agenda, which is really being pushed by the ECB, which is a kind of a pre-runner to kind of cross-border banking across the European Union, does require banks of scale and banks of size because of the regulatory costs and the compliance costs. And it's making it more and more challenging for smaller banks to exist. In the case of KBC, however, you know, KBC operates in Slovakia, Hungary and Bulgaria. In all three of those countries, their loan book is smaller than in Ireland, yet they're contributing in all of those three countries greater profits than the Irish position. In the case of the return on equity in KBC, I think it's minus 3% against the KBC average of 2.5%.
But so we do need that compliance, we do need that regulation. And also, when you look back, they're dealing with a lot of legacy issues that were mistakes of their own making. They weren't caught up in some sort of a crash in an accidental crash in 2008. They were driving the bus. And that has shaped the regulatory landscape.
But there's absolutely no doubt that one of the reasons why the capital capture, so much of the capital that is being trapped by these larger banks in Ireland, in the case of Ulster Bank or KBC, goes back to the period of really bad lending and bad borrowing decisions that were taken over a decade or so. And that will take some time to wash its way through the system. But there are the unique circumstances we have here in terms of the amount of capital, which is 3.5 times on average what other Eurozone banks are being charged in other markets, is a very unique circumstance, as is the issue on the treatment of security of assets. So a French or a German bank or a Belgian bank, you know, if you don't pay them back, they get 50% of the asset underlying the loan back into their bank. In Ireland, you get 11%. So there are fundamental, unique challenges that we face here on capital, on the question of security, on the question of non-performing loans, which are different to other countries that we really have to start addressing.
Charlie Weston, would you go along with that, that it has to do with that regulatory landscape, or is it simply that they can't make enough money here?
I think there are certainly factors, Richard. I mean, you know, Brian referred to the low interest rate environment. You know, banks are charged negative interest rate. People are cautious about borrowing. That is the case. The central bank has questions to answer about the capital reserves issue, and repossessions is still an issue. I mean, we have people who are something like more than 5,000 people who are 10 years or more in arrears. We need a fast-track way of dealing with that and getting rid of those non-performing loans, dealing with them in a sensitive way for the people who are genuine. And for those who are messers, we see plenty of cases in the papers of court reports of people who haven't paid anything for 7 years or living rent-free. All of those are factors, Richard, but the banks are the authors of their own mess. We were overbanked back in 2008. We had 12 banks here.
Well, now we might be underbanked.
Yeah, we're in danger of becoming the banking graveyard of Europe. You know, we've lost the likes of Rabobank, Danske, Bank of Scotland, Nationwide UK, Postbank, Leeds Building Society, just
ACC.
To mention front of the... And that's not, you know, that's not to
players,
mention the Irish ones.
What about new players coming in, Charlie? Is that a reality? Is that happening? And what difference might that make?
Well, I don't... You know, the problem we have now is we have a largely state-owned banks, three retail banks. You know, if you add up the combined shareholding of those banks, the state has 50% ownership in the banks of those three banks, you know, with more than 70% of AIB, more than 70% of Permanent TSB and 14% of Bank of Ireland. That doesn't make it very attractive for other banks to come in here. I think the future of branch banking is on the way out, really. I think we're looking at a very different model coming in the next few years. we're looking at a much more fragmented situation where people will pick and mix how to do their banking. They might get their mortgage off the likes of Avant, which has a very low cost model here operating through brokers. You know, their current account through the likes of the fintechs like the Revoluts, who are just eating up the market at the moment. And you might get your loans from your credit union. So it'll become segmented and you know, don't dismiss the big technology firms as well. Remember, Facebook have an e-money license from the Central Bank of Ireland.
So you think
Google as well have their authorized payment institution
more and more in that direction. But very much, there's one texter here, Brian, has made a point. It's a very valid point, and it sort of captures how many people feel about it. It says that we're left at the mercy of the market regarding banking services, and mercy is not exactly among their finest qualities.
Well, banking is a commercial enterprise. These are PLCs, they're public limited companies. They're owned by their shareholders. Their shareholders expect return on equity. If you're delivering minus 5%, which is the current position in Ireland, against an EU average of 2%, people will vote with their feet. Now, the question is this, otherwise you're getting into kind of subsidised state lending. Does the state want to do that? I don't think it does. So we face a very challenging situation. But, I mean, Charlie's point is right. There are new players. There are currently 9 mortgage lenders in this country: AIB, Bank of Ireland, Permanent TSB, EBS, Haven, Dealers Finance Ireland.
Over two-thirds of the mortgage market will now belong to Bank of Ireland and AIB when this deal goes through.
I think it's actually about 60% when the deal goes through. That means 40% are not necessarily in the two bigger banks. So this notion that there's no competition, I think, has to be challenged. We are seeing non-bank lenders also coming into the market. And Charlie is right. Some of those have shaken up the market.
They're a bit niche though, Brian. That's the problem.
And they are. And there is a challenge around that in terms of the amount of equity you've got to hold. We saw in our own figures that we published recently, Richard, switching has now increased. And I made the point recently, I think people at home, with a bit more time, are now speaking to their lenders, looking for better rates, shopping around and switching. We, as an industry, have to encourage that. It's good for competition. But this idea that there are no competitors out there is not the case. We have 3 Irish banks at the moment, 3 of them in different positions in terms of the public shareholding position. I would have thought the objective of the exercise is to get that public shareholding down they are fully back to the market. And that's good long term for credit in this country.
Charlie, what about the possibility with 60% of the mortgage market in the hands of 2 banks, and then there's also a blow for SME lending, they're losing another operator. Is there a danger that rates and charges are just going to keep going up?
I think, you know, this removes a lot of the pressure for rate cuts from the big 2. I mean, we really didn't see Bank of Ireland reacting to rate cuts when Avant came in here. Now, Avant are they're part of the Bank Inter group from Spain, and they're quite selective in who they will take on. But, you know, some of the smaller banks did respond. The irony of it is the banks were losing were the ones that had the best rates. KBC have some of the best mortgage rates in the market. They were keeping the others honest. We're losing them. We're losing Ulster Bank, who competed as well. You know, remember that Bank of Ireland are trying to take over the KBC mortgage book. They have some of the most expensive mortgages out there. You take somebody on a €300,000 mortgage, the best 3-year fixed rate you'll get from Bank of Ireland is 3%. You can get as low as 2.25% from KBC over a year. That's €2,000. €2,000 you're paying more.
Charlie's touching on a really important point about fees, because we're in the lower third of all banking countries and banking industries when it comes to the imposition of fees. You pay much more fees in a mortgage in another country than you do in Ireland. In Ireland, if you want to increase your fees, you apply to the Central Bank of Ireland under the existing legislation, and they sanction it. It's only one other country in the world where that happens, Nigeria. Okay. No other country in the Eurozone allows that. We have really big problems to sort out.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Brian Hayes, Chief Executive of the Banking and Payments Federation Ireland, and Charlie Weston, Personal Finance Editor of the Irish Independent. One texter did make the comment that Brian is making it sound like it's very difficult and challenging to run a bank. Don't make us laugh. Try running a pub, he says. But thank you both for